Psalm 23 in your Bibles, please. Pick it up in verse 4. Verse 4. Would you say, preacher, 20 after? Okay. Look at it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art, look at it now, with me. I want you to underline valley and with me. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. In the Sunday School Hour, I just want to talk about the valleys of virtue. If you would please study the scriptures, get into your Bible and study the valleys of the Bible. When you study the valleys of the Bible, you'll learn quite a bit about it. Because in the Bible times, words meant something and they always had definition. Names had significance. Mine, Keith, man of the woods. I don't know who named me or why they named me, but they named me absolutely correct. I feel more at home in the woods, and the more I pastor Baptist, the more I like animals. But anyway, man of the woods is where I want to be. I'm just so comfortable there. And so names meant something, and valleys meant something, names of the Bible. So I want to talk a little bit about valleys of virtue. Father, help us. In this Sunday school time, we thank you for this church and this wonderful pastor and his family. We pray for them, and we love these folks, Lord, and pray for them. And looking forward, Lord, for this day to be with them. Pray that you'd bless and help now. Give something from the Word of God that'll help somebody in this room, in Jesus' name. And amen. Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved psalms. Most people saved and lost can quote this psalm. As you, if you're a soul winner, you've been out and you've talked to individuals that can quote that psalm. They talk about Psalm 23 as my favorite psalm. The reason is life is full of heartache, sorrow, and valleys. We all like the mountaintop experiences, but it's in the valleys where you grow. Preacher's been out west a few times. There's a few of us has gotten to age and weight where we don't go up in the mountains too much anymore. Takes too much to get up there. And a man my size, when you get up there, you don't have enough energy to get back down. But the thing about it, every time, every hunter's this way, we're down the valley, we drive in the valley, and we look up at the mountaintop, and we got to say the animals are up there, we want to go there. After we get up there, we find several things that happen. Number one, it's high, it's shale, and the air is thin. Now, you that have not been out west, maybe you don't understand that. Preacher understands that he's been out west. I have too. We like the mountaintop experience. We like revival. We like somebody to come out and rip it up and just, I mean, boy, we like that high. But let me tell you where you grow. The air is thin up there. And let me tell you what happens when I get up there, honey. I look back down from where I came from, and there's green, lush valleys down there, streams and water. And I'm going, if I was an animal, that's where I'm going to eat. So I came from where the growth is. There's no growth in shale. When you get way up there, there's nothing. The air is thin. You can't live up there. It's okay to visit up there every now and again. It's okay to have revival. It's okay to have a spiritual high at times in your life. But you can't live there, because that's not what God wants you. And the life, the Christian life, is hills and valleys. So we must understand that. But growth is in the valley. We just particularly don't like the valleys. But that's where we grow. I'm talking about the heartache and the sorrow and the valleys. You see, folks, we can grow more in the valleys of life than once in a while on a mountain peak. The air is thin, like I said. It's rocky shale, no vegetation. But you need to remember, friend, that God is in every valley that you go through. Preacher, as I studied through this thing and understood that, it seemed like every valley that you study in the scriptures, the Lord's right there. Now, we understand he's everywhere, but I want to say to us that are Christians, when we go through those valleys, it seems like God cannot be found. There's some of you in this room, I preached it maybe last time, that within 24 months, you'll get a phone call or a diagnosis that's going to bring you to the deepest valley you've ever been in your life. And it's going to seem like when you cry out to God, he's not there, but he's always there. He's right there all the time. And so what are some of the Bible valleys? You ought to write these down. The Valley of Siddim, S-I-D-D-I-M. You ought to study these valleys. Just go down through the Bible and get your concordance, study this. I'll just give you a few today. This is a valley full of slime pits. It's the valley where it shows us of sin. It's because it's the spot where Sodom and Gomorrah is. Some of you might have been gone to the Holy Land, and you've gone to the to to the to the salt sea. When you go there, Sodom and Gomorrah is under that salt sea. You must understand that those that is going to come against Israel, Russia, and some of the Muslim countries, they're all lining up now. In fact, I thought it was interesting recent days that China and Iran and Russia are making military maneuvers, preacher, together. I think that's pretty interesting. How interesting is that? Because those are the ones supposed to come against Israel. And the one reason they want to is they want to get the minerals that are under the salt sea. Richest in the world. We've been there several times, and the salt sea is so thick with salt, preacher, you float on top of it like a bug. People out there floating, they just float on top of it. Some have gone there and bought the Ahava there, that black slime pit. You ladies would love it. You can put it on your face. Really good stuff. Just go out here and find a mud hole somewhere in Wally. But we buy that stuff, and those ladies buy that stuff. But it's called the slime pit, and Sodom and Gomorrah is under that. When God rained fire and brimstone and destroyed that place, it actually lies under there. And so we need to read the wickedness of this place. And sodomy was a lifestyle, and God rained fire and brimstone upon it. And this is where sin reigns, and this is our lives where sin abounds. Everybody in this room, if you're saved by the grace of God, you are in the valley of Siddim at some time in your life. And the truth of the matter is, we need to understand that we need to come out of that valley, but every one of us here. Now, if you're here and you feel that you're just not been there, you need to get saved today, because you are a sinner. Every one of us is vile and wicked, and this vile, wicked stuff needs to be in hell today. And anything outside that you think you deserve, you're too proud. All of us have been to the valley of Siddim, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the valley, this valley represents sin in our lives, in the valley of sin. I'm talking about nightclubbing and drinking and dancing and smoking and fornicating and adultery and dope, all that other stuff that some were part of before we got saved. And the Bible says that even the thought of foolishness is sin, so you've been in the valley of Siddim. Much of what the prodigal was into was the valley of Siddim. Yet he said, I'll go to my father. And the thing about the valley of Siddim, folks, you can get out of that valley by going to the Father. And so we need to understand that. We need to realize that even when we were in the valley of sin, God still loved us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at me, please. I don't know what you ever were into. I know what I was into. And I know what I deserve, and I don't even ever want to look back. All I do is I remember where I came from, but I never want to go back there or even think much about it. But when God reached down, he reached very low for this sinner boy. And while I was yet in my sin, Christ still loved me. Now, folks, that's different than us, and you can take your spiritual halo off. I've pastored Baptist for almost 40 years now. When people go into sin, we want to write them off and X them off. We want to distance ourselves from them. God doesn't distance himself from them. He loves us while we're yet in the valley of Siddim. Now think about that. That's a lot of love, preacher. To us, we need to understand that boy, sometimes we think we're better than God at times when we judge individuals like that. And I understand the matter of separation. I understand that stuff. But that's why we're not like God. He loves us and yet while we were yet sinners. So God was loving us while we were living like a devil. The Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin. And so it's amazing that not only did he love us in our sin, preacher, he then took a sin upon himself and became sin for us who knew no sin. And so there's a way out of the valley of Siddim, if you so wanted. He wants to come us to come out of that valley and trust him as our Savior. What bothers me, preacher, nowadays is that we have so many stinking victims. Everybody's a victim. We've victimized everything. This is what's happened today, and may get into it sometime, and I don't know what I'll do today, but that's what's happened to all this burning and slashing and killing and all this stuff, rioting. We're victims. All of us are victims. This country owes me. You owe me. My parents owe me. It's crazy stuff. It's crazy stuff. And I try to teach my people, there is no such thing. Stop this insanity. We got a boy that got saved out of the gangs. Preacher got all the gang markings. I think I might have talked to you about it. I laid him in our Christian school. He never got in trouble one time, where all of our boys in our school ended into something at one time, and he was the only guy not involved. Traveled with Joe Boyd some. Came to Providence Baptist College. He finished. I bought him two tents, two vans, two trailers. Dr. Boyd gave him a tent, a huge tent. He's got three tents preaching all over down south of the border, north of the border. Parents never come to church. Could care less. Told him never to do it. But he never counted himself as a victim. Went to public school and was bringing tracts and Bibles. They were giving him the trouble down there. And he asked me, he said, "Preacher, what can I do more?" He said, "They're mad. The principal's mad. The teachers are mad. The students are making fun of me. But I want to do more for God at my public school." Boy, he took a strong stand. I just wanted to lead him into Christian school. When I said, "We got Christian kids, won't take the stand that boy is." I'm simply saying he never looked at himself as a victim. I'm thinking of a man now. I won't mention his name. Preacher would know him if I mentioned his name. Vice president of a Bible college. He's not there anymore, of course, but he was there for many, many years. And I heard his testimony, which was outstanding. I knew a little bit about it. He was conceived in the back seat of a car by his prostitute mother. A vice president of Bible college. But I never knew the whole story. He never saw himself as a victim. Finally, I got the whole story. And what had happened, as a young child, he said, "I thought it was interesting that as a little bitty child, I always were at a dinner table eating with a bunch of pretty ladies." He said, "I never knew what was going on until I got old enough to understand that I was actually living in a house of ill repute." Are y'all with me now? No victimization. Vice president of a Bible college. And he said, come to find out, his real biological daddy was a mafia man. He wanted to see a girl in the church, and the dad said, you can't have anything to do with my daughter. You need to start coming to church with us first." And he did. He said, "Come for 6 months and we'll see if you can even talk to my daughter." The boy came 6 months. But within that six months, he got saved, got born again. Started growing in grace. And one day the preacher was out of town, and he just looked at him and said, "You're preaching on Wednesday," or whatever it was, or Sunday, or whatever it was, Sunday night. And it shocked him because he had never preached before. Well, it kind of floated around, and his biological daddy heard about it and came, sat on the back row, hated preachers, hated them, wanted to kill every one of them, came, sat on the back row. He stood and preached, and his daddy, tears flowing down his face, came and got saved. No victimization. I'm just simply saying, now, isn't it amazing that we try to say that when we're in the valley of Siddim that we can't get out? You can get out, and you can get out by coming, arising, and coming to the Father. You see, it doesn't matter how deep in sin you are, even as deep as Sodom and as awfulness of Gomorrah, Jesus wants to come and save you. In the valley of Siddim, Jesus is there. That's what you need to understand. When you start studying these valleys, it's very interesting that you'll see that he's always there, standing in the shadows waiting. He's not going to force himself upon anyone. We must come to him. Number next is the valley of Eshcol. We know that term, the grapes of Eshcol. It's located inside the promised land, and when the Israelites came to enter into the promised land at Kadesh Barnea, they sent the 12 spies over, 12 deacons, and sent them over to check things out. They came back, of course, with a bad report. Isn't it amazing that we're fearful when God said we ought to have faith? This is why Jesus Christ said, when he come again, will he find faith upon the earth? This is what we're lacking right now. Faith is not positive thinking, preacher. It's obeying that book. And this is why we got all these little rock and roll boys and they're doing their thing right now, because they don't have enough faith to do what the old timers do and the old school do and trust that book for the results. So they come up with their own little thing. See, that's why Jesus said, when I come again, will I find faith on the earth? These 12 came back, of course, and gave a bad report. The assessment was, the land floweth with milk and honey, but there's giants. Are you with me? Grapes so big. Now, preacher, we sometimes say the grapes were big. The grapes weren't big. The cluster was big. So the cluster was so big that it took two men. Think about going into something like that and walking into a place like that and seeing the lushness of the place. And the Valley of Eshcol is called the Valley of Decisions. And every one of us will not only have been in the Valley of Siddim and sin, But every one of us in this room is going to be in the valley of decision. Some of you are there right now, the valley of decision. You young teenagers, you're in the valley of decision. What to do with my life? Am I going to keep myself pure? Am I going to marry the right one? Am I going to grab the first one that has britches on? Am I going to go to Bible college? Am I going to give my life to Jesus Christ? But also all of us in this room, some of you younger guys, should I do this for business? Should I do that? Etc. Some of you ladies, etc. Decision, the valley of decision. The valley of Esco. We need to understand that. Shall we go forward or shall we go backward because there are giants in the land? Could I say this to you? I don't care who you are in this room and how long you live, there will always be giants in your life that need slaying. And it doesn't take a big man. David was not a big man. He was just a man of faith, a young boy. While the armies of Israel were cowering in the mountains, David said, somebody need to shut up this big boy right here. And he had faith. And when it was a valid decision, he made the right decision. And that's why God used David in such a way. The Lord always will help you in these decisions. Preacher, it's a shame and I believe in counsel. I believe a lot of times people ought to come to us for counsel. And maybe when they have a decision to make, just try to bounce it off to make sure they're doing the right thing. But boy, I'll tell you what, when you're in a pinch and the preacher's not available and nobody else is available, the Lord is there with you to help you with that decision. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you understand salvation, you ask him, he will answer you. The truth of the matter is sometimes we don't like the answer because sometimes he'll tell us no when we say yes, but sometimes he says absolutely not. So we need to understand that he's always there. And that's why God puts authorities in our lives sometimes to help us with those decisions. The Israelites should have listened to Moses and God's promise to go into the land versus listening to the spies' report. Indecision. Watch it carefully, please. I had an opportunity to go back to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to my home church, and not only as assistant pastor, but then after that passed and I stayed and finished college, I could go back and start churches all down there. My pastor approved it. I want to go back 45 minutes, there to church would be with my mom and dad, with her mom and dad. I was going to start churches all down south. I walked in, Dr. Jack Howell said, that is the greatest idea I ever heard in my life, son. Now, he normally does not let anybody, and you know this, let anybody go back to their hometown. It's amazing he let you, but you came back as a youth director. And he said, wonderful idea, son. Except God said, you're going to stay right there at that little church that called you. Up in north suburbs of Chicago, a stinking, raging Cajun in the north, right out in the shadows of Chicago. You've got to be kidding me. That is the most unusual, crazy thing in the world. And all I thought is, I lived such a wicked life before, the Lord's going to make, he's not going to send me to hell because I got saved, but he's going to make me suffer in the shadows of that place. Are y'all with me or no? My home pastor said good. My college pastor said great. God said no. Now, I understood my spiritual counselor's preacher, but when you ask him, he was there in that decision making, and I'm certainly glad I did. I don't know where I'd be now if I went down south. I have no idea, but I know this, it would not be anywhere. God would have never done with me down there what he's done with me by reporting for duty. Are you hearing me now? Now, I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to sit here and brag about what goes on at our place or the unbelievable amounts of properties we own and what God has done from a rented school with 31 people to what it is now. I'm just trying to tell you that sometimes you're just going to have to listen to God on this. But these Israelites, if they would have listened to Moses and, of course, God's promise, because God said, go take the land, they didn't. And it's a valley of decision. Number next is Valley of Kidron. It's a valley also called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Suffering. Everybody in this room will go through that. I don't care who you are. It's just outside the eastern wall of the city of Jerusalem. Some of you have been there. It's been between the city, of course, of the Mount of Olives and the Holy City. Some of you have been there. And there's a graveyard right there against the Temple Mount against the walls of Jerusalem, and the eastern gate is bricked up because they understand that that's where the Lord's coming in the second coming. He's coming through that eastern gate. Also knows that he would not cross a cemetery. But my Lord can do anything, and he's coming through that gate. Trust me, he's going to come through that day. And so we understand that out there, outside there, Samson and Samuel and James and Absalom, all of those are buried out there. It's called the Valley of Suffering, and all of us will go through that. This church has experienced that just recently with Mrs. Ross going to meet her husband that pastored this church so long. Valley of Suffering, your pastor's gone through that. You will too. There are young people in this room right now, they have had everything handed to them on a silver platter, but there is coming a day where they're going to end up in the Valley of Kidron. Y'all listen to me now. So here he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. We understand that. And then when he was sold by Judas, they arrested him, bringing him to Caiaphas' house. He crossed the Kidron Valley. Y'all understand that. He had to go to Caiaphas' house. He had to come out of the Mount of Olives, cross the Kidron Valley, which meant he stepped across the Kidron Creek. At that time was a Passover. You better thank God that PETA and all of these animal rights activists were not involved back then, because they were slaying tens of thousands on that day and slayed them. And as the blood would run down through the sewer system, it'd go into the Kidron Valley and draw. And Jesus, when they led him to Caiaphas' house, he stepped over the blood of all those animals, of all those lambs, knowing that his blood would flow there shortly. No more sacrifice for sin. That one lamb took care of all of it. It's called the Valley of Suffering. And when he crossed that valley, he knew where he was headed. He understood it was going to be the valley. And preacher, this valley is a valley of death, and our Lord walks through that valley. If you remember what we just read, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. All these Bible valleys have significance, and we need to understand that. This day is a day of suffering, and we understand that. And it's amazing that many people, because of their television preacher, they watch the television preachers, and they feel that everything's supposed to be great, and beds of roses and hallelujah shouting and all that stuff. And that's good and fine, but you must understand that the Lord ordains us to suffer. I don't know where we get the stinking attitude that Christians will not go through hard times of suffering. That is the most heretical thing you've ever heard in your life, because you study that book, everybody that we know suffered. And the Bible says that we like the power of his resurrection, we do not like the fellowship of his suffering. And until you enter in the fellowship of his suffering, you'll never have his power. And there are folks in this room could stand and give better testimony than I could about going through valleys of suffering in your life. Look at me carefully. Some of you that are a little younger, boy, everything's fine. You got a lot of energy, but you're going to get gray-headed like some of us in this room, and it's harder to move. I wish I could tell the gray-headed folks it gets easier. It does not get easier now, does it? Some of you gray-heads can amen that. It doesn't get easier. It gets harder, and the suffering comes. The valley of suffering, and all of us will go through that. Cancer, sickness, some lost loved ones to death, and even this COVID thing. There are folks in this auditorium that fall to suffering, and seems like the sun will never shine again. Could I say that in your suffering, he's right there, and your sun shall shine again? There's some that have experienced that in here. There was a time in your life where it looked like God cut the lights off on you, pulled all the rugs out from under you, the darkest day of your life. And you remember back then, but now you're sitting here, smile on your face, and understanding that the Lord was there with you and can get you through those hard times. I thank God for that. I don't know if I could have made it, preacher, going through what I've gone through, but the Lord was there all the time. Could I say emphatically, God is with you in all of the suffering and heartache you'll ever have. He's with you in your valley of Kidron and suffering. I preach hard against sin, preacher, but I love people very deeply. Kim tells me, she said, sometimes you wake me up at night. I said, what am I doing? She said, you're just crying. You're crying. And I feel the reason that's happening, it's no doubt, I'm thinking about those in my ministry that I love so much and help so much that I really wanted to make it, that didn't make it, turned their back, went through suffering because of suffering, they got out of the will of God. I think about people that are suffering now. I'm thinking about, I preached just last week, the anniversary of a young man that I loved from a child, held him when he was a baby, and married one of my good girls, and got on a motorcycle and died. I look out there with those three youngins out there, and she's sitting out there just staring. Now think about those, preacher, some of that suffering that the Lord allows us to go through, that valley of Kidron, and he'll put you in there that you might know him. There's some people, when things go smoothly, we don't spend time with him, we don't know him, we don't love him like we should. When we go through those valleys of suffering, sometimes it forces us to do that. The young life is one big play day, but there's coming a day of sorrow and heartache. Just one of these days, the valley of heartache and burdens and problems and suffering and tears and sorrow. The valley of Kidron is just around the corner for some of you. But in every valley, Jesus is right there. Now the problem, preacher, we don't know he's there because we're having a pity party. And that's what happened to me, and will happen to all of you. I don't care how mature you are in the Lord. When you're going through suffering and through Kidron, you're always thinking about yourself. How can I make it? What can I do? What, Lord, where are you? And it's more of a self-pity when we're asking where he's at, and he's right here. If you get off your pity party, you can hear his voice. If you get on your face and really understand what you've read and what's been put in you by your pastor's preaching, you can hear his voice if you listen. We're too busy about everything, too much on our little devices and playing around to hear his voice. But when you're going through Kidron, what you need to do is hush just a little bit. Be still and know that he's God. Just hush up just a little bit and you listen very carefully. You can hear his voice. Number next, the Valley of Elah. I got to quit pretty quick here. Little David grew up when he faced his giant. It's called the Valley of Battles, preacher. And every young person here and every adult here has been in some of those valleys, and in some cases, you'll be faced with them in the future. I was talking to a precious lady before service that Kim can't travel much with me anymore because her parents are suffering so bad, and her mother's bedridden, and they're going through battles. They went through battles in their life, but here they are again in the battle of health now, battle of sin, temptation, compromise. And yet the Lord said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So preacher, when we get into those battles, we need to understand that the Lord's there and to help us through it. And it may be the battle of cancer, maybe the battle of some health issues, but God's there in the Valley of Elah. And may not kill the cancer, but Jesus has already killed death, hell, and the grave. And when you can understand that, preacher, when you look at the loved one that you're about to lose and understand that they're about to graduate, isn't it amazing that we preach salvation, we want to go to heaven, but when somebody's going to heaven, we don't want them to. And isn't it amazing when they go to heaven, we want them to come back, and they're in heaven going, ain't no way I'm coming back to that. Ain't no way. Number next, and I'm through, I think, the Valley of Achor. This is when Achan was punished and judged for stealing the first fruits of conquest. He stole God's tithe. He lost all that he had, including his life, his wife, and his children, and all of his livestock. And all this happened in the Valley of Achor. It's called the Valley of Judgment. And so we need to understand that some are reaping what they've sown, and it seems like you're being punished. But you must understand that God has already punished sin, but he'll correct us for future living. And this matter of chastisement is not preached much in our pulpits anymore. But listen to me very carefully. Most of you that got any sense, you chastise your children when they do wrong, but you think that God is a worse parent than you. And when his children get out of step, he'll put a smack down on you. He'll whoop you till the fire alarm goes off. And if you have never been corrected by God Almighty, I question your salvation. Because when you get off, God will judge that. He will correct you. He loves us, and he loves his children much more than we love our own, and he will punish us for getting on. The Valley of Chastening will come to all of us and all of God's children. Please remember, while he's doing it in love. None of us, preacher, correct our children in hate. And God definitely doesn't do that. Look in Psalms 23:4, and I'll be done. Look at it one more time. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And he is. There are many Bible valleys in the Bible, and you need to study those out. It'll help you when you go through some of these things. The valley of sin, God is there. The valley of decision, God is there. The valley of suffering, God is there. The valley of battle, God is there. The valley of chastisement, God is there. Do you understand that nothing that you can ever go through as a child of God, that God is not right there to help you if you'll see him? Folks, I'm not being kind. I'm trying to help you. I'm telling you right now, we complain, we gripe, we bellyache about everything. And because if it doesn't go our way, bless God, we're spoiled Americans. And if it doesn't go our way, bless God. When we just need to stop just a minute and understand that nothing ever comes our way that hadn't been stamped approved by God, came across his desk and said, let me put him through that. What you need to do is just study old Job. He's a good illustration of what God allow any Christian to go through, no matter how much you love God. And what he wants in the end result is that for you to have enough faith to trust him and understand that he's right there. Father, bless this Sunday school hour. We thank you, Lord, for these Bible valleys. So many of them could have gone through. We thank you for these. Pray it helped somebody in this room of one of these valleys, that they would get out of that valley understanding, Lord, that you're there with them. Pray that you bless the preaching hour to come, save sinners near as hell. We ask in Jesus' name.